Fred Durst?
He's like Iggy.
Oh, you are sorely mistaken. I
play something from $3 Bill, y'all.
What is that?
That's the landmark Limp Bizkit album.
Limp Bizkit? Oh, my God. I mean,
Wait, you don't agree that those are the most crucial grooves you've heard since Funkadelic?
What, Limp Bizkit grooves? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the ultimate cross between Funkadelic and Rob Tyner.
Yeah, no, I don't agree at all.
Oh, you do not deserve a radio show.
CITR 101.9 FM, your crucial groove station.
It's just a lot of BS.
What do you like?
I love picnics.
What do you like?
I like me first, then my sisters and brothers.
What do you like?
Hitting this tin can with a spoon. Ah.
What do you like?
Messing up a room.
What do you like?
I like pina coladas.
What do you like?
Dead burnt bodies.
What do you like?
Sadists, known perverts, and Mormons.
What do you like?
Noise! 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 Noise!
Thank you.
It is 11:37 in the morning. It's time for a noise here on CITR 101.9 FM. Luke Mead here at the helm. And welcome to the show. We started you off there with the king of K-Rock, Mr. Shin Young-hoon and the Men. Korean psychedelia for you. Shin Young-hoon, best known for his cover of Inagata De Vida. If you can find that, give me a shout here at 822-2487. Coming up in the show, stay tuned. We got lots of stuff to talk about and a giveaway. Got a pair of tickets for the Animal Collective show happening, I believe, this week. We'll get to it a little bit later, and we'll hear something off the new one by them. We got a whole stack of new stuff. I'm just going to kind of let it fly by the seat of my pants today. Give me a shout if you want to hear anything weird or noisy. Come on, guys, challenge me. And yes, indeedy. Lightning bolts. We'll be right back. Some guitar hypnoticness for you there. Non-Lock, the artist is called. Real name is Mark Dwinell. Brand new album out on Strange Attractors Audio House, that great little label out of Portland, Oregon. Non-Lock, Between Hemispheres is the name of the album. Corpus Callosum is the track. Before that, some classic no wave. Glenn Branca off of his debut album, Lesson Number One, and it still sounds as fresh as it did when it was released almost 27 years ago. And we started off there with the Gruesome Twosome from Providence, Rhode Island. The Two Bryans, Lightning Bolt, they're better known as, off of their now classic Wonderful Rainbow with Dracula Mountain. It's hitting around 12 o'clock here, top of the noon to you. This is a noise. And stay tuned. We've got some Animal Collective tickets to give away. If you're not doing anything Saturday, scrooch on down to the Commodore Ballroom. I'm going to come up with a question, though, because these are pretty hot tickets. But we will be hearing something from them later. So stay tuned. This is something, though, coming up I haven't played in a really, really, really long time. A very, very mysterious Japanese solo artist by the name of Three Nipples on Her Hand.
Thank you.
and some film music you're listening to right now. This is Alejandro Jodorowsky off of the Holy Mountain soundtrack. And if you're unfamiliar with his work and his films, well, they have finally been re-released in a gorgeous 6-DVD box set, including the soundtracks to his two most famous films, El Topo and The Holy Mountain. You heard The Holy Mountain soundtrack there, Rainbow Room, the track is called. And we started you off there with, Three Nipples on Her Hand. Now, this disc came to us about 6 years ago, even though it was released actually in 1993 in Tokyo. And it's a wonderful mishmash of one-man band buffoonery. Each track is completely differently, but insane in its own way. And I was just surfing around trying to get some information, and he's got a MySpace page. And so if you liked what you heard there, check out www.myspace.com, Three Nipples on Her Hand. And you can actually hear some of his stuff for free. Operation Sunflower is the name of his record, and it came to you from Raw Pear Music. Don't know if they still exist. There's a phone number on here. I might even try it if I can figure out the time differential. But anywho, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This is A Noise, and we're going to give away a pair of Animal Collective tickets. So listen up right now, 822-2487. If you've never seen them before, they're always fascinating. I don't know how they're going to go over in the Commodore. The room seems like it might be a little too big. Not to dissuade you, though. They're two free Animal Collective tickets. It's Saturday. It's a free night at the Commodore. Give me a shout here at 822-2487. That's UBC CITR. However, you have to tell me. It's International Talk Like a Pirate Week, so you have to tell me your best pirate joke. So if you've got a good pirate joke and you want to go see the Animal Collective, give me a shout. And yeah, we're going to hear something off the new Animal Collective right now. Strawberry Jam, the full length's called. And I'm sure if you listen to CITR, you're going to be hearing this album many, 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 many times. And yeah, this show is no exception. I'm a sucker for them. This is for Reverend Green on A Noise. We'll be right back. So when I asked to hear a pirate joke, I should have said, like, no racist ones and don't say, and yeah, but I did hear a good one. And I will share it with you. A pirate walks into a bar and he's dressed like a typical pirate, peg leg and a parrot on the shoulder and everything. But in his fly, there's a steering wheel sticking out of it. And the bartender goes, what's going on there? And the pirate just goes, arr, it's driving me nuts. So there you go. You heard some Eric Copeland there, who's opening for Animal Collective on Saturday. Eric Copeland, solo from his real gig, which is Black Dice, if you're a fan of them. Check it out. His album's called Hermaphrodite, a brand new one out on Potrax Records. A whole bunch of kind of, you know, bedroom noodling with electronics and pedals and stuff like that. Pretty cool stuff. And before that, you heard the band themselves, the Animal Collective, brand new one out. Pretty much a virtual major release for them. They're on Domino now. Strawberry Jam is the name of the album. And you heard For Reverend Green. Let's get into some proggy psychedelia. This is Guru Guru.
definition for the word shindig. Shindig. Noun, informal. Definition 1, an elaborate or large dance, party, or other celebration. Definition 2, CITR's annual battle of the bands.
It's that time of year again. Shindig, CITR's annual battle of the bands. Come on down every Tuesday to hear Vancouver's best unsigned bands duke it out every week. Past contestants have included The Saltines, Clover Honey, Dandy Wind, They Shoot Horses, Don't They, Victoria Victoria, and 3 Inches of Blood. Shindig promises killer prizes for the winners, entertainment for the viewers, and, as always, the dreaded jokes for beer.
Dogs are different than cats, and hey, what if Jack Nicholson were a flamberty blue?
Hey, what if, We Are the World was sung by the cast of Friends? I think it might go something like this. All right,
Shindig kicks off on September 11th and continues for the following 8 Tuesdays at the Railway Club, located at 579 Dunsmuir Street. Doors open at 8 p.m. and show starts at 9:30. Shindig is brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Yes, indeed. Shindig started last night and it kicked off really well. I was down there. I got booed off stage for Jokes for Beer. That's always a good thing. And quite an unexpected surprise won. And that's always the best thing about Shindig. Happens every Tuesday at the Railway Club. And yeah, be sure to check it out. It's only $5, so come on down and see some of the best unsigned local talent. What did we hear in that last set? Well, what did we hear? We heard Guru Guru, a very, very, very intense psychedelic band from 1971. UFO is the name of the album, and Stone In is the track you heard there. And we're going to move on to some local action and shows coming up in this next set. One thing is on October 24th, what are you doing? Well, you better be at Riches on Richards because High on Fire and Mono are playing together. Two outstanding live bands, and I do not know how they're going to compete with each other because Mono has a wonderful habit when they open for bands, ruining the main band's experience because they're just so damn good, and they wind up making the headliners not look as good, which is what happened on Sunday night at the Plaza Club with this wonderful, wonderful band from our very own city who I'm never missing again. Open up your listening holes and prepare to have your nuts smashed by Bison. We'll be right back.
Right there.
something old there, but it's on a new CD by Mono entitled Gone. It's a collection of EPs, spanning the years 2000 to 2007. And a lovely track we heard there was called Gone, just the title was, and that was originally from the Phoenix Tree, originally released by Temporary Residence, but there's some wonderful flexies and B-sides on here and split EPs. Mono opening up for High on Fire, who you heard before that. They're going to both be here on the same bill at Richard on Richards, October 24th. So make sure you're going to be there. And then also we played a band that I'm never going to miss in the city again, nor should you. Whew, Bison. My goodness. I don't know what to say about these guys. Check them out. They're on sale at finer record stores everywhere. And yeah, I can't say enough about them. They absolutely blew my mind. Yeah, stay tuned. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have some uninterrupted jams. 2 o'clock, Democracy Now! With Ms. Amy Goodman. 3 o'clock, Rumbletone Radio Agogo with Mr. Frank Rumbletone. 5 o'clock, Canadian Voices, part of our Spoken Word series, where our sister station, CJLY. 6:30 this week is Sam Squatch's Hideaway with Anita B., the best in Canadian content. 8 o'clock, Folk Oasis with Ms. Val Cormier. 10 o'clock, Juice Box with Julia. And 11 o'clock, I saw the man last night, and I spanked his leather-panted ass, Hans Kloss, with Hans Kloss's Misery Hour. Yeah. Here's Velvet Underground by request.
The Jeffers had reached his limit. It was now mid-August. Jumenti had been separated from Marsha for more than 2 months. 2 months, all he had to show were 3 dog-eared letters and 2 very expensive long-distance phone calls. True, when school had ended and she'd returned to Wisconsin, to Locust, Pennsylvania, she had sworn to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Waldo had begun to worry. He'd have trouble sleeping at nights. And when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his pleated quilt protector, tears welling in his eyes as he pictured Marsha, her sworn vows overcome by liquor and the smooth soothings of some Neanderthal, finally submitting to the final caresses of sexual oblivion. It was more than the human mind could bear. Visions of Marsha's faithlessness haunted him. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts. And the thing was, they wouldn't understand how she really was. He, Waldo, alone understood this. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of her psyche. He'd made her smile. She needed him. He wasn't there. The idea came to him on the Thursday before the mama's parade was scheduled to appear. He just finished mowing and edging the Adelson's lawn for $1.50, and I checked the mailbox to see if there was at least a word in Marsha. There was nothing but a circular from the Amalgamated Union Company of America inquiring into his own needs. At least they cared enough to write. It was a New York company. You could go anywhere in the mails. Then it struck him. He didn't have enough money to go to Wisconsin in the accepted fashion, true. Why not mail himself? It was absurd, you see. He would ship himself parcel post special delivery. The next day, Waldo went to the supermarket to purchase the necessary equipment. He bought masking tape, a staple gun, and a medium-sized cardboard box just right for a person of his build. He judged that with a minimum of jostling, he could ride quite comfortably. A few air holes, some water, a burst of night snacks, and it would probably be as good as going tourist. By Friday afternoon, Waldo was set. He was thoroughly packed, and the post office had agreed to pick him up at 3 o'clock. He'd marked the package fragile, and as he sat curled up inside, resting on a foam rubber cushioning of the trophy, he tried to picture the look of awe and happiness on Marsha's face as she opened the door, saw the package, tipped the deliverer, and then opened it to see her Waldo finally there in person. She would kiss him, and then maybe they could see a movie. If he'd only thought of this before. Suddenly, rough hands gripped his package, and he felt himself borne up. He landed with a thud in a truck and was off. Marsha Bronson had just finished setting her hair. It had been a very rough weekend. She had to remember not to drink like that. Bill had been nice about it, though. After it was over, he said he still respected her, and after all, it was certainly the way of nature. And even though, no, he didn't love her, he did feel an affection for her. After all, they were grown adults. Oh, and Bill could teach Robert. But that seemed many years ago. She looked like her very, very best friend. Walked in through the porch screen door and into the kitchen. Oh God, it's absolutely modern outside. I know what you mean. I feel all the heat. Marsha tightened the belt on her cotton robe with the silk under it. Sheila ran her finger over some salt grains on the kitchen table, licked her finger and made a face. I'm supposed to be taking these salt pills, but she made me nervous. They make me feel like throwing up. Marsha started to pat herself on the gym, an exercise she'd seen on television. God, don't even talk about that. She got up from the table and went to the sink where she picked up a bottle of pink and blue vitamins. Want one? Supposed to be better than steak. And then attempted to touch her nose. I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again. She gave up and sat down, this time near the small table that supported the telephone. Maybe Bill will call, she said to Sheila's glass. Sheila nibbled on the food. After last night, I thought maybe you'd be through with him. I know what you mean. My God, he's like an octopus, hands all over the place. She gestured, raising her arms upward in defense. The thing is, after a while, you get tired of fighting with him, you know? And after all, I didn't really do anything Friday and Saturday, so I kind of owed it to him. You know what I mean? She started to scratch. She was giggling with her hand over her mouth. I tell you, I felt the same way. And even after a while, she came forward and whispered, I wanted to. Now she was laughing very loudly. It was at this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Darrow Post Office rang the doorbell of the large sticker-covered frame house. When Marsha Bronson opened the door, he helped her carry the package in. He had his yellow and his green slips of paper signed and left with a 15-cent tip that Marsha had gotten out of her mother's small beige pocketbook in the den. What do you think it is? Sheila asked. Marsha stood with her arms folded behind her back. She stared at the brown cardboard carton and sat in the middle of the room. I don't know. Inside the package, Waldo quivered with excitement as he was hearing the voices. Sheila ran her fingernail over the masking tape and climbed on the center of the carpet. Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from? Waldo felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating footsteps. Leave us soon. Marsha walked around the carton and read the ink scratched label. Oh, God, it's from Waldo. That schmuck, said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. Well, you might as well open it, said Sheila. Both of them tried to lift the staple flap. He must have nailed it shut. They tugged on the flap again. My God, you need a power drill to get this thing open. They pulled again. Can't get a grip. They both stood still, breathing heavily. Why don't you get a scissor, said Sheila. Marsha ran into the kitchen, but all she could find was a little sewing scissor. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cutter in her hand. This is the best I could find, she told her friend. Here, you do it. I'm gonna die. She sank into a large, fluffy couch and exhaled noisily. Sheila tried to make a slit between the masking tape and the end of the cardboard flap. The blade was too big and there wasn't enough room. God damn this thing, she said, feeling very exasperated. Then smiling, I got an idea. What, said Waldo. Just watch, said Sheila, touching her finger to her hand. Inside the package, Waldo was so transfixed with excitement that he barely breathed. His skin fell quickly from the heat, and he could feel his heart beating in his throat. It would be soon. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around to the other side of the package. Then she sank down to her knees, grasped the cutter by both handles, took a deep breath, and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and right through the center of Waldo Jeffers' head, which split slightly and caused little rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun.
Velvet Underground off of White Light, White Heat with The Gift, and that was by request, but coincidentally, that actually fulfills my Nurse with Wound list requirement, actually, because I was happy to see that on there. And so, yeah, we're not ending with the nurse list, it looks like. So I guess I'll play some Jandek, what the hell. And, yeah, that'll just leave you with some seriously depressing music on this gorgeous, gorgeous day. This is off of Ready for the House. This is Jandek with Naked in the Afternoon. Hope you enjoyed listening. Thanks for listening. And until next week, if it doesn't annoy, it's not a noise. Bye for now. Cowboy when you wear those boots.
This is Colin from GBH, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and that's Canada, boys.